A lifetime of training, practice, study, hard work. Through discipline, some achieve excellence, mastery, fulfillment, self-actualization. What can we learn from their beginnings, discoveries, motivations, and falls? How do they dust themselves off and resume their journey? During these interviews, stories, and conversations, we reveal their intrinsic drive. Sarah Slattery began her athletic career as a swimmer, training twice daily for several hours before and after school. Learning the importance of hard work from her father, watching him rise at 4 a.m. while running his sign business, Sarah joined her high school track team merely as a way to stay in shape for swimming. As a freshman, she was state runner-up in both the 800 and 3200 meters. This rising star realized she needed to focus her energy on running. While a student athlete at the University of Colorado, Sarah capped her outstanding 11-time All-American collegiate running career with a victory in the 2005 NCAA 10K. Today, Sarah is the men's and women's head distance coach at Grand Canyon University in her hometown of Phoenix, Arizona. It was a pleasure to spend a moment in Sarah's busy life. She is the mother of Steve, Callie, and married to former world-class steeplechaser Steve Slattery. We are honored to welcome Sarah to this episode of Intrinsic Drive. Sarah, thanks so much for taking the time to catch up with us today. I know your time is so valuable. You're so busy these days with all the things that you do between family and coaching and your own health and wellness. Thanks for coming to Intrinsic Drive.
No, thank you so much for having me. I'm a big fan of this show. I love I do a little bit of driving and I still run quite a bit and I love listening to podcasts and yours is one of my favorites. And it was an honor to be asked on today to be a guest. So thank you so much, Phil.
Oh, thanks, Sarah. No, thanks for that. Let's go right into your beginning, the genesis. Take us to the beginning of your journey. When did it start for you?
So I grew up playing a lot of sports. I played a lot of the ball sports, basketball, soccer, gymnastics, but I really came to love swimming. And I grew up as a club swimmer. So I swam rec team for a few years and then got really involved in swimming and decided to do club. And I swam club from like age 8 to my sophomore year of high school. And I really attribute that to like swimming's tough. Like it's a really tough sport and it teaches you how to work hard. Our club coach was really good at goal setting and he taught you how to work really hard towards those things, but also like set up this system where you're really driving to be your best self. So he had like goals, like we would do these time goals and you get prizes at the end of each season based on like how many of those goals you hit. And like he would break it up into like tenths of a second that you would get like little goal points and you'd have a certain number of points to get things. But it was great because it really showed you how to like be proud of the progress that you're making each time you put an effort forward and not just worry about the place that you're getting at a meet or even though like we're motivated by those things too and trying to make like junior nationals and those things. But right. It was a great system. And I feel like I learned a lot of really important lessons and my parents were also like very hard, like blue collar, hardworking individuals as well. And my dad was up at 4 every morning. He had his own business and he would be home at 5 every night, but he was always involved in our activities as well. Like family was really important. And I saw that drive, like how hard he worked towards things. And I think it just like being involved in those activities and having the family that I had, like really made me want to work hard and want me to succeed in something. And so I think that the beginning of my journey really started with those two things. I always wanted to work as hard as my dad did.
Well, that makes sense because I think I was reading somewhere in another article about you. It was a sign business, correct? Where your dad and mom started it right there in your living room.
I mean, they just bootstrapped it and began. And you and your sister are seeing this growing up and seeing this, hey, hard work can pay off, but you've got to put the time in and the effort and sacrifice and all these elements that make any process work, right?
Yeah, for sure. And my dad, and I think it was also important to see from through swimming and through my parents, like there's a lot of disappointment along the way too. Yes. You know, like there is a lot of things that like didn't go right. Didn't always go right, but they figured things out and they continued to move forward. And that, and the same with, like with swimming, I had a lot of, there's some big goals that I missed, but you learn, like, I think those lessons are the most important lessons, in that journey. And, and my dad was the biggest one. Like, yeah, you fall down, but you get back up again and you keep working hard and it'll come.
That's wonderful. And I think it's so great. I think that's what sort of was the catalyst for your success in running, is that you didn't have quite the early instantaneous success in swimming, right? It was really hard. It wasn't easy for you. And it was like, by the time you were 12, I remember reading, of course, you were doing doubles at that time. Swimming's probably at a real high level in Arizona at the time you were coming through. And you're seeing these people, you know, really achieve. And maybe I read somewhere you wanted to go to the University of Michigan even and swim, you know, over there and all these great programs. And you were thinking, but it wasn't just coming out of the box, right?
Yeah, I had to work really hard. Like, I think the highest level I got to was I made junior nationals, but I wasn't finals at junior nationals. I was making junior nationals. And it was right. Like, that was like the big thing. And I was on the relay team there and that, like, I was a part of something, but yeah, it was, I had to work really hard to get to that level. And, right. And so it showed me how to, like, I had a lot of teammates that were, I came from a state with like Gary Hall, there was like a lot of Olympians that came out of here and, yes. And so I'd see, you know, I wanted to achieve those things or be at that level, but I had to really work a lot harder than those athletes to get to that level.
And now looking back, you realize how fabulous that is as a coach, right? To instill that, or maybe even as an archetype, looking for that and not necessarily, hey, kid, do you like to win or do you like to compete? Those are two different, there's a disparity there, right? I mean, it's amazing.
Well, yeah. And it was, like, I mean, swimming's also, running can be social. You can go out and run and, right. And like, talk to your friends. Swimming, you're looking down at the bottom of the pool the whole time. So you have to be really driven to do that. But I had a lot of great friends that I met through swimming. And yeah, it now as a coach, I definitely see like how important those lessons were. Like, and I see that in a lot of my athletes. I mean, there's some that are just, you know, you'll get talented kids, but to be to the level that they want to go, like if you want to compete at the level they want to compete at, it takes more than just talent. Like,
that's right.
You have to have that drive and willingness to like work hard at your craft to get better and continue to get better.
Well said. And taking us to your ascent, Sarah, when did you first feel yourself rising in your craft and how old were you? And what was there an event that made that path clear to you at that time?
I think, you know, like I first started running when I was in middle school and I was still swimming. So I was, I had a few friends that talked me into doing it in middle school, and it was only like a 3-week season. But I won like the middle school championships for our city. And they had like a state one, and I ended up winning it off of not very much training. Like, I'd only trained for the 3 weeks, but wow. I had obviously a pretty good aerobic background from swimming. So I think that helped quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so I had some talent, but I always thought, no, I'm a swimmer. I'm going to swim in college. Like, right. This running school, but like
Stanford or Texas or Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah. But it'll be like, I'm gonna end up swimming. So I was still swimming quite. I'd do the season, the track season, and the cross country season, which were like 3 weeks. But then I had to like kind of sneak that away from my swim coach because they didn't really My swim coach is actually the GCU. My club swim coach is the head coach at GCU for swimming now.
Now, that's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, it like comes full circle and we're super good friends, but
great.
He like, you know, swimming's great for running, but running is not good for swimming. So he didn't really want you running.
Right.
I would just do it, but I really wouldn't tell him about it. And then it was around like my freshman year, I did not run cross country. I swam. That's the swimming season.
Okay.
Right. Did it to state. I was a finalist at state for swimming. And then I was really kind of struggling, like not enjoying swimming as much. Like it was becoming more of a grind. Like I wasn't seeing the improvement that I was before. I got like, I really wanted to run track that fall, that spring.
Okay.
So I decided I was going to do both. I decided to do both swimming and running that season. I actually ended up having my best swimming season.
Wow.
Despite that running isn't good for swimming.
Yeah, but, the dry land training, right? They call
it. I went to the state championships. So the best I had made it in swimming that fall at the state championships was like eighth. I was eighth at state in a couple events. And my first season at track, I was runner up in state in the mile, 2 mile and 800. And
wow.
And
your freshman year, that was your freshman year, your first official track season. You were,
That was my first in our 4x8 one state. And so,
okay.
My dad was like, hey, you know, you might want to like try running more. Yeah. Like you definitely have, like you're hardly putting effort into this and you have quite a bit more talent. Like maybe we should try a season, like try the track cross season this summer or next fall. And so I was like, okay, I'll do it, but I'm going to continue swimming on top of it. So I would still swim club. And that summer I did the club track and I went to nationals for club track. I went to junior nationals and I was second at junior nationals in the 3K. And then, so I ran cross that next fall and ended up making Foot Locker. And then I was like, okay, I made nationals my first season.
Wow.
I made it. So then that's when I was like, all right, I'm going to commit fully to running and stop my focus on swimming. I did continue like in the off season swimming every year. So I would swim in the winters and some in the summer, but I was more dedicated to running. So that's kind of how I figured. I think making Foot Locker as a sophomore in my first season really was like opened my eyes, like, hey, okay. I definitely have more talent in this. Like I should put more focus in it and really see what I can do in the sport.
Yeah. That feels so right. That feels, Sarah, like your discovery. You know, you're learning through these experiences and events that being second at the national championship of Foot Locker and cross country, you realize, okay, now, you know, I still love swimming, but now swimming maybe is more conditioning. It becomes right. It's maybe transitioned to more the conditioning. And now your focus is the running, the track and cross country. Who were your mentors, coaches, and teachers, and what was revealed with them?
So like early on, I definitely say like my swim coaches were, I had Steve Schaefer and Glenn Coy. He was our other coach. They were very positive role models. They taught me the goal setting. They had a great age group program in swimming. So I really learned a lot through that. My high school coach was Sabrina Robinson, who formerly Peters. She ran at ASU and she also professionally. And she was a huge mentor to me. Like I wouldn't have gone to Foot Locker that first season. Like it was her first season coaching at my high school, my sophomore. So I really think she helped me a ton, like opened the door for me and then continued to help me grow a lot in my running. And I had never had a woman coach and she was my first woman coach and she was one of the toughest coaches I had, but also like, just someone I could relate to and someone that like really, really helped me, grow as a person and as an athlete. And she, I got to see, like, she was running masters races. Like she was 40 when she was coaching me. the Olympic trials and the marathon that season. She would run with me all the time.
Wow.
Workouts. And she was also, she was a mom of two, and she was a teacher, and so she worked, and she was raising the kids, and she continued running. And I just thought that was so amazing the way she balanced everything. And she had such a positive attitude and loved, like, love life. Like, so that it really made me want to be like her. Like, she was just this amazing person, and she is still this amazing person and role model.
Wow. So she was doing all these things. Maybe that was the 2000 Olympic trial. That was maybe right around then, right?
2000 Olympic trials and marathon. And I think she ran just 41, and she ran 242 or 244.
That's amazing to balance all those things, to be a mother, to be a coach, to you first year coaching, also an elite athlete. And now you're looking at that and you're seeing all these things. Hey, look, this is me down the road. I want to follow in those footsteps. And she's reaching a hand to you there. I think that's fabulous.
Yeah. So I attribute a lot to her, and we're still super close. She lives in Colorado, and I get to see her a couple times a year, but yeah, still running. She's still she actually broke her foot recently, and she's not, like, she had to stop for a little bit, but she's still like a very close friend of mine. And,
that's great.
Yeah, she was a big mentor. And then of course my dad. I think my dad was someone that I could always, my mom was always really encouraging, but I connected with my dad in a lot of the way that we thought. And like, he was someone that I could always talk to when, I was struggling or, excited about something or just wanted to talk about goals. Like, he didn't really know anything about running, but he could translate that he had dealt with, like, he was going through, and use those same motivations roll over your whole life. So he was just really good person to, like, for me to connect with and talk to about the things that I was facing,
those things that are most important, like a life coach, to lean on and give you those. It's amazing. The drive, Sarah, what at this point urged you forward? Now you're coming into almost going to University of Colorado, coming out as now a very high level in high school. You won, 10 high school state championships or something in that nature. What's urging you forward? What were some of the external and internal forces and motivations during this time in your life?
You know, I think when I really just wanted to be good at something. Like, I just wanted to stand out. And I wanted that to be swimming. It wasn't swimming. And then I saw this opportunity with running. And so, like, I always felt like, I was talented, but I was like, I don't ever want to be the person that, like, doesn't work, you know, like, I want to be the hardest worker out there. And I saw that, like, how hard my dad was like, you know, there's a lot of people that, that can do things, but just won't put the effort forward to be great at something. And so to be honest, my freshman year, when I was making that transition from swimming to running, I got a little bit burnt out, and I was hanging out with the wrong crowd. Like, a lot of, like, I was going to, like, hanging out with, like, older girls on the team, like some older people on my high school track team, and going to parties and kind of I haven't been able to do that. You know, like, a lot of people do this in high school. Like, it would be fun. Like, I want to do this. It looks like it's fun.
Right.
But I was noticing, like, when I was going to do all these things, it was the same people at these places. Like, nothing wrong with them. And I was friends with them throughout high school, but, like, they were doing things that weren't helping them get to, like, the goals that I wanted to get to. And, like, it was the same people every weekend partying, doing the same things. And I was like, this isn't the path that this isn't the path that's going to take me to where I want to go. And I see I'm wasting my time if I don't put my full self forward. So
That's amazing that you witnessed that.
Like, to me, like I kind of had to, and it wasn't like my parents telling me, like yelling at me or my parents really didn't like, I kind of did like, I just, it was kind of eye-opening in to myself seeing like, I'm wasting my time if I don't like, if I don't get on the right path right now. Like,
so yeah, internal correction. Yeah, you saw it.
Yeah, once I made that decision, it was very clear on like, there was like, you know, things that there was disappointments along the way, but I was like, I'm way further ahead than I would be if I was not putting that effort forward. And so like, it wasn't hard for me to go like overcome those things, because I knew like it would come if I kept working hard.
That's right. And so you quickly were able to kind of, I love that you're kind of self-correcting just by the, it wasn't like this big parental lockdown or, you know, okay, now there's a curfew or all these things it was, you're on your own, so that there's an internal shift, which is obviously more sustainable. You knew what you wanted. You saw, okay, this is going to lead to X. I really want to be here in this other zone of reaching my goals and, you know, and working towards this excellence process that you're doing and getting better.
Yeah. And I think now as a parent and even as a head coach, those lessons, like, I think I have to stop myself a lot of times with overcorrecting, like with my athletes, because it's hard. It's hard to watch, hard to watch your athletes or your children go through those things. Like, and when you know they shouldn't be doing certain things. And obviously there's times where you need to correct and there's just, you know, like actions that need to be.
Sure.
But I feel like my biggest moments of where I was like turning points for myself were when I had those self-realization things where it came intrinsically and not through someone else. So.
Yeah. Wow. Well said. If we can all just take that hands-off approach and allow God and the greater, you know, angels of our nature take over, you know, and hopefully, you know, but as you're setting those examples, so your parents set those amazing examples, and through their work ethic, through their drives, seeing your father wake up at 4 a.m. and seeing how, okay, going through all these obstacles and those bad days and a lot of the failures and the losses, it's not easy starting your own business. This is not,
He started it and his partner took off with their company, like with half of the whole company. So my dad, when he partnered with him, that was his drive to like start his own thing, but they had to start from nothing. So it was like, that was his motivation to really, really work hard on his own and build special. And so that was a hard thing that I saw him go through that. I was like, I knew, I didn't really know I was young at the time, but now, like, as I got older, I understood more. But yeah, those moments are really like you learn, like those struggles are when you learn the most about yourself and like how you can handle situations and how strong you really are.
And they actually come to define you. They define you and they make you the person you are. And so now I've realized I'm grateful for those challenges that were so devastating in the moment that I didn't understand, but it's all part of this shaping, this, you know, to be a better person, to get outside of myself and be more of service to others and elevate people around me and all those good things that you don't see when you're in the world of self-serving. So this is so powerful, Sarah. What about, take us to the fall, or, you know, what's the lowest moment for you in your career or life? Was there a major inciting event or moment there?
I think there was a couple in my running career that were really tough. I think in college, I had a lot of injuries in college. Some of them were easier. Like I tore my plantar a couple of times and that wasn't terrible. Like it took months to get off and then get, it's kind of like having a stress fracture where you just have to take the time, let it heal and do the rehab to come back. But I, had a major surgery halfway through like my junior year. And I completely ruptured my posterior tib tendon. Okay. And then reattach it to my flexor digitorum. And I really, they weren't sure if I'd be able to run on it again. And I was determined, and I had a good surgeon that I saw. But the rehab process back in the post-op recovery wasn't great. And I had a lot of scar tissue buildup on my, along the incision and, in my ankle, and it wasn't moving correctly. And it was very stiff, and I returned to running a lot sooner probably than I should have. And so I kept getting I had three or four stress fractures, in a, like a year and a span right after having that or maybe a year span after having that surgery. I just kept, it was compensating, and I just, I'd ramp things up and I'd get a stress fracture. I'd ramp things up again and get a stress fracture. And it really wasn't until, I know Alberto has like a, like right now a bad name, but he was a really good person to Steve and I. And
good.
I had met when I was interning at, I was interning at Nike the summer of my junior year.
Good.
And and Steve was looking at possibly going out to the Nike Oregon project when he was going pro. He reached out to me when he found out that I had been hurt, like I kept getting hurt. And he was the first person that introduced me to active release therapy.
Yes.
So I started getting ART, and I got like all that scar tissue.
Yes.
I also got Dan Path at the time. So Dan Path, Alberto, and like Justin, who's in, I can't think of his last name, and he's an active release therapist in Portland. My ankle started moving correctly again, and I was finally able to like start running normally and get my gait back. And and I went down to Indianapolis to see their St. Vincent Sport Medicine.
We did a great center there. Mm-hmm.
I did a bunch of testing, and they helped me with my gait. And after that, like my senior season, like I was going into my, like I almost wanted that going into that senior year, I'd had those four fractures in a row, and I wasn't even sure if I was going to be able to run. And my senior season, off of a month's training in cross country, I helped our team. I was an All-American again, and I helped our team. I just cross trained, and I helped our team win our second national championship for women. And then I had to continue cross training through the winter. And it wasn't until about February that we got everything working correctly with my foot. And then I won my second national title in the 10K. But I had been doing a ton of cross training, like at least 2 hours a day of cross training. And I moved up from being a miler my freshman year to the 10K my senior year, just because I had a great aerobic system from all the cross training.
Yeah. And you had that background from swimming. So you're used to the kid growing up with like 4 hours a day. They tell you, hey, let's do 2 hours a day. He's like, no problem. Like I'm there. This is great. It wasn't a
thing. So I was fit, and I attribute, like, that was like kind of a big turning point for me. And I wasn't sure if I was going to, I really wanted to run as a pro, and I wasn't sure if I'd be able to. And I almost quit going into my senior year, but I was so, just because I didn't know if my body could handle it. I just, like, with my ankle and everything, and I kept getting these stress fractures. Like, I wasn't sure if it was in the cards anymore. I had been offered a contract to be a triathlete with USA Triathlon with my swimming background.
Wow.
And so they were going to pay me. They had a good contract for like developing junior athletes. Okay. And so I thought about it and I ended up turning it down once I won the NCAA title, because I wanted to see what I could continue doing in running. And I felt like I hadn't had like a long enough period where I was like healthy that I could continue running. And I felt like now that I had had my ankle fixed, like I could start putting in that work. And I went after doing that 4 years without having any injuries once I got ART in my ankle. So I think that was a big turning point for me.
That feels like your pivot. I mean, that steered you back on course, that turned you around. Even with 1 month of cross training to come back, I mean, being out of the game, lower leg injuries at high altitude are very tough. We don't get the vascularization to the lower leg, so we're not getting the pump into the heart. So we have a lot of people that have to actually leave altitude. That wasn't an option for you because you're in school at CE. Yeah. But we had people in Flagstaff, we had to get them out of altitude just to recover from Achilles or posterior tib or lower leg injuries.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because of the hypoxic condition. So
it makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
It places where, and then you're standing all day on the feet and ankle joint. And then, so now you've got the mobility. We have these mentors coming up between Justin and Dan Paff and Alberto helping you and the group in Indianapolis. And now the axis of Henke, we call it, that has to pivot, the ankle joint has to pivot, and there can't be any scar tissue around that malleolus that gets congested. And now all of a sudden, in just 1 month of this cross training, you win the NCAA. And that's a big decision to look at what's on the table from USA Triathlon and say, look, I want to invest in myself. And kudos to you for moving forward on that path. Let's look at the rollback. I mean, if you had the opportunity, would you redo or do something differently in your career or life?
I think post-collegiately, I think I wouldn't change anything. Like, I was very grateful for my time, like, as a swimmer and then transitioning to running and my high school coach and my college experience. Mark and Heather and Jason Drake was also there. Like, it was a great program. Like, when I was looking at schools, like when I went, I looked at a lot of big schools and Stanford was one of them. And it came down to Stanford and Colorado, but the main thing I wanted when I went to college, like, and this was a big reason, like Molly and I were writing our book, how she did it, is at that time, there was a lot of high school phenoms that like would go on to college and never run to the same level and never make it kind of post-collegiately. And we were also looking like, there's Molly Siddall is like the second woman to win Foot Locker and make an Olympic team. And there's been over a dozen men. And so we were, when I was looking at college, I wanted to continue to improve and I wanted to go somewhere where the coach cared about me and whether I was running or not running. And it was a place that I liked being there and I had teammates that support me. And I had an amazing team like George and Ed Torres, and you know, I met my husband there, and there's some of my best friends to this day. And
yeah,
I'm very grateful for that. And my coaches, Mark taught me so much as a coach or as an athlete, but also now in my coaching. He's a huge mentor to me with coaching, and I can't, you know, I had a lot of bumps in the road, but I think that's a part of it, you know, and I think I learned a lot about myself and as an athlete, how to handle myself, and it helped me later on in my professional career, but also my coaching career.
No, Sarah, I mean, I love this quote that you had, and you probably don't remember, but you were giving an interview. You said, I tell my athletes, your teammates are your family. I love that. You know, it makes total sense. It's what we taught when we came to Flagstaff, and it was like kind of a second renaissance. And it was like, okay, Mike Smith moved in, and Michael Friedberg, who'd been a great CEO, yeah, also, who kind of represents that person coming from, okay, you know, 936 high school two miler to two-time All-American, you know, because he followed the system and he worked hard and he stayed in there and did those Sunday long runs and all those things. And so I just love that. It said, hey, look, you know, what you said was, yeah, you're not going to get along with everybody all the time, but if you respect each other and try to help make each other better and elevate each other, I think that was really cool what you said.
Yeah. And I feel very grateful at Grand Canyon. I get to be, I'm the head coach of both the men's and women's team, and we're a combined program. And I really treat each other. I don't have huge numbers. Like, I try to keep it around 30, 15 and 15 so that I can give them attention, but we do everything. We try to do everything together. I mean, COVID's made it more difficult in a lot of ways.
Sure. But, for sure.
But, I think they learn a lot from having each other around. They respect each other. They see the hard work that they're all putting in together. And they all play an important role in the team. Like, and that's how it was. I'm trying to mimic some of the things that were really important to me as an athlete when I was at CU.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And you all really embraced suffering, and it's people on the outside say, oh, okay, there comes the Buffs. They're just going to come and roll over, but you're not at those early morning Sunday runs when you got to go up the canyon to Netherland, right? And run Mag Road and all those things. I mean, that's what forges you. That it doesn't matter that you're coming in and you're all American, all those things. You have to go in and do the work day in and day out. And I just think if we look at the anvil, take us to an event or decision that forged you, a defining moment that shaped your destiny.
The biggest decision, probably that point where, like, it was when I was really struggling that senior year. And this has been a couple times in my career with my husband, Steve, like, where he's seen me, like, he sees how hard I work, but like saw me, he didn't have as many injuries as I did. And he saw me like struggle really hard because I really wanted to be there. Like, I wanted to do that. And I wasn't sure if, like, I was questioning whether I could handle it or my body could handle it. And I was feeling sorry for myself that season. And I was like, maybe I should just quit, like, or go, like, I even thought about just leaving the team and running pro, or, like, you know, like, not being a pro. And he's like, Sarah, you have 1 year left. Like, you have this last year left. Like, why wouldn't you put everything you have into this season and just see what happens? Like, if it doesn't come through, like, you're not losing anything, but if it does, like, you're going to gain a whole lot of stuff. So, like, you have nothing to lose if you just put yourself out there and put everything into it. And then just having that conversation, I think, made it very clear to me, like, why am I worried about this? Like, or why am I overthinking this at this point? And, it made it very easy for me to put that effort forward. But it took me, like, I think kind of, I had to snap out of that mentality of, like, why me? And why is all this stuff happening to me? Which is very easy to happen. And it, like, and especially, like, I see it in a lot of ways now when we're dealing with a lot of things that are out of our control.
Yes.
And so I think that was probably the biggest, like, the best advice I could have gotten. And I use that, like, in a lot of things that I deal with presently. And I think I was very grateful. I, like, Steve was there for me and really snapped me out of that moment.
Yeah. That's just such a blessing to have someone that close to you, that connected, your best friend, you know, future husband, saying, hey, look, you can do this. Let's clear the slate and get this focus, and just opened up a whole new window for you. Just platform. Your journey, Sarah, what's most important to you now? What does the road ahead look like for you, and what's next?
I think I'm really excited. Well, Molly and I, our book is coming out in March. So that's a goal, like, kind of that was our COVID goal. We decided to write it before we knew COVID was coming on. And then it really became our project during that. So that's like something that we really wanted to do to help other girls in the future. That
Fantastic.
We want to be a very, we wanted it to be a very, there's been a lot of negative talk about women's running or the things like the journeys that a lot of girls, things that they've gone through, where we see running as a very powerful, like, tool that has like helped us in so many ways in our lives. And we want this book to be powerful for other girls and to help them, know like they are going to face things like along the way, but here's 50 women that have like dealt with those things, but been done well at every level, like high school, college and beyond. And here's the things that they faced and how they overcame them and the things that you can do to help yourself in your career. So, that's exciting for us. And I hope it's a tool for other girls. And then my team, like this is, we have a full season, indoor and outdoor this year. And I have, like a good, really good group of guys. They're juniors, like a really strong group of men this year that, I'm excited about indoor and outdoor season and qualifying some kids to regionals and possibly nationals, bringing some school records. Our girls team is a young team, but we have a talented team of women and they're really coming up. So that they motivate me and get me excited every day. Like, and having, I have Sarah Hall's daughter on my team, which is really fun too.
Great. Oh my gosh. How old is she now?
So she's a sophomore this year. But she redshirted, she didn't run much her freshman year last year. So she's just starting to get, like starting to get into things. And then I have a girl from that transferred from Florida State and she's run like 16 flat for 5K. So we're
great. Okay.
We have some young girls too. So it'll be fun. Like, it's fun to watch them grow and develop and do some things like, that they didn't think were possible. So that'll be fun. And then for myself, like, I think just coaching in the book, and then I have my kids getting really involved in sports too. So that's, it's just fun watching their journey and watch them develop as kids. And
wow. And how old are your children now? How old is Stevie and how old is Callie now?
Steven's 8 and Callie is 6. Wow. So they're in 3rd and 1st grade.
Wow. That's amazing. And as we look into the slipstream, thinking about parting gems of advice you'd like to leave for us, any words of wisdom and parting gems of advice?
Okay. Well, I think my favorite quote, and he's probably my favorite writer, and I listen to his podcast a lot, Jocko Willink, but he always says like, don't expect to be motivated every day, because you won't be, like, but it's not motivation that makes you great. It's discipline and putting in the work day in and day out, no matter what. And so I think that was something I learned early in swimming. That was something I learned from my dad. That was something I learned from Mark Wetmore. And I think it's kind of something that like a lot of people just expect like the best athletes to be super motivated, and most of them aren't super motivated. They're dedicated.
That's right. Chop wood, carry water and do it again. That's amazing. I love it. Well, please. I'm very excited. I'm a reader. And when I saw that you were doing this with Molly, I was so excited for you guys and excited for all of us and taking these messages. And I know that the book comes out, I believe it's a Random House. It's a Penguin Random House book, right? And it comes out March 8th is the pub date of how she did it. Okay. March 8th. Perfect. And we can get it on all platforms. You can get the ebook. You can get it on an audiobook as well. Correct.
Yeah. So I get to, we're excited. We actually get to read our voices in the book as well. Like,
that's so great.
It would have been awesome if we could have had each girl do their own voice, but it was going to be very, very difficult to do that. So we have some, they hired some voices for the women, but it'll be out March 8th. So you can get an audiobook, Barnes and Noble, Amazon, Target.
Great. Great.
So yeah.
Great. Well, it's How She Did It, Stories, Advice, and Secrets to Success from 50 legendary distance runners. And it's co-authored with Molly Hull, another one of the greats in distance running for us as U.S. women. Pub date is March 8th. I'm going to pre-order mine. So we're going to have in the liner notes here of the show, we're going to have the best place that Sarah is going to direct us to where to get it. It's an essential guide for female athletes navigating the world of competitive running, featuring 50 candid interviews. And these interviews also are woven with your all's stories, right? And sort of there's some liner notes of you all interweaving and sort of making sense of your own stories.
The first half of the book is kind of like the recipe book of like the things that women face in distance running that have like pulled them back or they deal with. So we have a nutrition expert, bone health, sports psychology, sports physiologist. We have a sociologist that's talking about like the societal pressures.
Yeah.
So they're kind of the beginning and we weave their advice in with the stories as well. And then our own personal stories. So,
wow. That's a great fusion. It's going to be really like a how-to in a memoir, a nice fusion there, it feels like. And it's, you know, sort of like what you're calling it is Olympic caliber support team at your fingertips. I like that. I think this is a real needed, going to be a seminal work. So we're going to really promote that and get that out there to more people.
Thanks, Phil. Yeah, we're really excited about that.
You should be. That's a great work. And Sarah, I just want to thank you, you know, for you and your family. I know it's over the holiday and you get rare time alone, so I'll let you go. And I just want to thank you so much for spending time and being with us here on Intrinsic Drive. You've been a real pleasure to be with.
No, thank you. It was such an honor to be asked to be on the show. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And thank you again for the invitation.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate you opting in, subscribing, and reviewing us, for thumbing us up and following us on socials, liking us. We like you. Drop us a note. Tell us what stories move you. For books, videos, resources, and more information, visit us at whartonhealth.com/shopwhartonhealth. And be sure to join us for the next episode of Intrinsic Drive.